Another wonderful opportunity for us to get together, talk together, meditate together on this wonderful portion of Scripture, and we're dealing with the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. And I confess I'm going very slow, but for some reason or other, these mornings as I talk to you, I feel led to say the things I'm saying because I know I am talking to people who are hungry for reality. And as I think of these verses in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I can't help but take the time to explain to you and plead with you for a relationship with the Savior. Now again, allow me to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 7. Pardon me, verses 4 to 7. But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now here we are again with this wonderful passage of Scripture concerning the grace and mercy and love of God. For those of you who have been listening in, you will bear with me when I again repeat this. What we were in time past, born into a human race that was under the sentence of death, indeed we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were controlled by evil forces. We were children of wrath like the rest, afar off, without Christ, without hope, without God. We hadn't anything. But God, who was rich in mercy, great in love, even toward us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And again I come to it. My friend, when was he great in mercy? When was he great in love? When we were dead in trespasses and sins. When we had absolutely no spiritual life. For this is what it means. When a person is dead in trespasses and sins, they are without spiritual life. You remember that wherever you find sin, you must find death. The wages of sin is death. I have met people who say, Mr. Mitchell, I never sin. But my friend, if you never sin, you'll never die. You can't separate these two. The very fact that people die because of sin. I do not want to go into all the ramifications of this, but I do want to impress upon you that it's not a question of being good or religious, it's a question of life. It's a question of relationship with God. And when a sinner, and I care not who they are, what they are, where they come from, or what they've done, God is rich in mercy and great in love to you, my friend, wherever you are. And when did he start to love you? When you were dead in trespasses and sins, when you had no life, when you had nothing to offer God. You see, in the book of Romans, which we finished here some time ago, in the book of Romans, it's a question of unrighteousness. Whereas here in the book of Ephesians, it's a question of death. In Romans, we had a revelation of the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of man. But when you come to Ephesians, it's a question of life and death. To have Christ means life, and not to have Christ means death. In other words, the difference between life and death is the person of Christ. The difference between heaven and hell is the person of Christ. Not your badness, not your goodness. I wish in some way I could make this clear to your heart. You see, your heart and my heart is desperately wicked. We tell God that God isn't right. God says we're dead in trespasses and sins. God says there's none righteous. God says there's none that doeth good. God says we're dead, children of wrath. And I tell God, and you tell God, we say, well, wait a minute, we're not that bad. We're not that bad. And then we begin to compare ourselves with somebody whom we think is really bad. As far as God's concerned, that isn't so. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All out of Christ are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, God is rich in mercy, and he's great in love to us, even when we were dead in sins. And he not only did this, but in verse 5, he made us alive together with Christ. Listen to it. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive. This old English word, quicken, means to make alive. He hath made us alive together with Christ. Again, I repeat, my friend, it's not a question of goodness or badness. It's a question of life or death. And what dead people need is life. You know, I have met so many people this last year or so who told me they were raised in Christian homes, went to Sunday school and church all their lifetime, but for some reason they never came into the reality of a relationship with God where they experienced life. Now let me ask you a simple question. And I'm talking to you who possibly are church members. You've been baptized and you've known the Bible and you've gone to Sunday school. And you can be pretty smug and say, well, I'm not living like those old Pharisees, those old sinners on the streets. I've never been drunk in my life and I've never done this and I've never done that. All right, I'll take your word for it. But are you alive in Christ? Do you have life? Do you have life? In the Gospel through John, in the first chapter, the fourth verse, which I think is the key of John, I read, in him, in Jesus Christ, is life. In the third chapter of John, he says he's going to give us eternal life. In John chapter 4, he talks about the water of life. In chapter 5, he talks about everlasting life. In chapter 6, he talks about satisfying life, resurrection life, indwelling life. In chapter 10 of John, he talks about an abundant life. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 20, it says, these are written, these things have been written to us who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have what? Eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. He hath quickened us together, Jew and Gentile together, with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. And by the way, may I suggest this? I headed this chapter by the word reconciliation. And all through the chapter you're going to have this. The one place where Jews and Gentiles are made one is in Christ. The only place you find them sitting together in perfect harmony, in perfect fellowship, is in Christ. My friend, it's the only place you'll ever find that perfect harmony between Jew and Gentile. It's in Christ. He hath raised us, Jew and Gentile, up together and made us, Jew and Gentile, sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. I repeat it, oh, what we need now is life. I find so many religious people, so many wonderful people, but they're still dead in trespasses and sins. Still dead in self-righteousness. Still trusting their own filthy rags instead of the righteousness of Christ. And I, my friend, I repeat it to you today. Until you have a personal dealing with the Son of God, you have no spiritual life. It's hard for me to say this in a way because I have so many friends who are wonderful people. Wonderful people, religious people, but there's no sign of spiritual life Let me ask you again the question. Have you really come into right relationship with the Savior and received life? Again I say, which I've said so often, life can only come through relationship. And unless I'm in right relationship with the Savior, I have no spiritual, eternal, satisfying, resurrection, abundant life. It's found only in one place, in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the life. In him is life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So you have in these verses 4 to 6, God is rich in mercy. God is great in love. Even when we were dead in sins, what did he do? He gave us that which we needed. We needed life, resurrection life. His eternal life becomes ours. And then he raised us up together, Jew and Gentile, and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ, sharing together the glories of his exaltation. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. From being fit for hell, we are now seated in the heavenlies in Christ. From being children of wrath, we are now the children of God. From being dead in trespasses and sins, we are now alive and seated with him in glory, sharing with the eternal Son of God his glory, his inheritance, which we had in chapter 1. No wonder the songster writes, Hallelujah, what a Savior, what a Savior. Oh, friend, would you turn your back? Would you reject? Would you spurn? Would you be indifferent to such a Savior who can take men who are dead in trespasses and sins and not only redeem them and give them his mercy and shower his love upon them, but give them his own life, join them to himself, and seated us, Jew and Gentile together, redeemed, saved, having life in the heavenlies in Christ, the safest place in the universe. This is what Colossians 3:3 says. You were dead and your life now is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. I say, what a Savior we have, and what a salvation is this. Who would spurn such a Savior and reject such a salvation? My friend, may this not be true of you. You accept him today right where you are and revel in the life that is in Christ Jesus. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.